So as it happens at times, challenging words from the sacred scriptures this morning. This direct connection we can see from the Gospels and from St. Matthew and that prophecy from Ezekiel. You, Son of Man, Ezekiel tells us, you, Son of Man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. The Lord had appointed him the watchman. A watchman would be someone who would have sat atop the wall of the city looking out to see any invading forces that were coming, so they could warn the inhabitants of the walled city to be prepared and to get their defenses up so they would be ready for the attack. But then he goes on to say about watching the moral actions of the people within the wall. If you see someone sinning, you must call it out. Because if you don't call it out, and that person dies, and they will die because of their sin, then you are responsible. But if you do call out their sin, and they don't change their ways, and they die in their sin anyway, then you are exonerated. This great action, this great privilege, this responsibility of the watchman over the house of Israel. And why would he do that? Why would, in the first sense, why would you need that watchman on top of the wall looking for the invading armies? Because you love those people inside the wall. You're seeking to protect and to defend those that are within. It's the same motivation that Jesus is coming from in the gospel. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him so that you can win him back. That first part of today's gospel is that section that we refer to when we speak of fraternal correction. How do we respond to someone's sin and someone's faults, someone's flaws? I think if we as the church, as disciples of Jesus, could follow those three things. Talk to him first. And if he won't listen, then bring a couple of others with you. And then bring them to the church. If we were to employ this methodology of fraternal correction, you notice he didn't say blast them on Facebook or on social media. Don't go to the gym and be gossiping about what you saw someone do wrong. Don't share memes and other things that are defaming to people's character. Go to the person directly for the purpose of winning them back. What St. Paul said in the second reading, owe nothing to anyone except love. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are indebted to every person that is alive. That we must love every person. And it's that love that motivates that watchman to defend his people. And it's that same love that motivates us to try to win back our brothers and sisters who have fallen away. The desire is reconciliation. That verse before the gospel that they sang so beautifully from 2 Corinthians, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. So if we, one of the ways that we can just put a quick little label on salvation history, on with the action of the Old Testament and then coming to fruit and fullness in the person of Jesus, was this great reconciliation of calling those who were lost back into the one fold. In a sense, a return to the original creation, back to the garden where everything was in perfect communion and perfect harmony. But again, we hear time and again, we don't hear it enough, even though we hear it all the time. the destructive effect of sin. And not just in my own personal life. There's no such thing as personal sin. Well, at least I'm not hurting anybody else. That's not true. The destructive nature of sin destroys, it infects and destroys the body. The body of believers that we are baptized into, that we become members of through the waters of baptism. And St. Paul says so beautifully in so many places about the interconnectedness of the body of Christ, about one person being a hand, one being an elbow and an earlobe, and all these different parts. And we can't say, we don't need that one, or that one's extra, or I wish I was that one, and why don't I have that one? No, we're all together as one body. And just like we understand the damaging effects, the destructive evil forces of an invading army, we need to have that same understanding of the destructive forces, the deadly forces of sin in our life. And this is where the readings are getting us today. In the most pure sense, that first reading, the watchman, is referring to the clerics, the hierarchy of the church, the pope, the bishops, and the priests. That this is our challenge. I must call out the sin that is so pervasive in our country and in our culture. Because if I don't, this proverbial you will die in your sin, but it's going to be on my head if I don't warn you, if I don't try to call you back. This is one of the reasons the priest, the bishop, the pope is challenged and charged with being a prophet, being a preacher, to warn us of those invading forces, those spiritual enemies, the spiritual armies who are coming to attack us. So in the first sense, it's for us as clerics, those called to preach. But it applies to all of us, especially you fathers, you husbands, you men of the household. This is your challenge and this is your charge. And it's probably more difficult for you to do it than it is for me. That list of sins, the commandments that St. Paul mentioned. How many of our favorite sins fall into those categories? The sins against marriage and the profanation of human sexuality, adultery and cohabitation and pornography, artificial birth control, abortion. All the things that are just so widely acceptable in our country and in our culture. And for the parents who give their children smartphones, have you abdicated your duty as a watchman? Or are you being faithful to that? The TV shows that we allow to be watched in our homes. The music that we allow our children to listen to. Are we being watchmen? Are we defending those that we love from the invading forces that seek to destroy, to rob, to kill? This is the challenging word the Lord has put before us today. Because we have an integral role to play in this reconciliation that Jesus was sent to employ. He could have done it without us, but he chose not to. And so we must step up and we must respond. So how do we respond when we see our brother or our sister sinning? Do we just say, it's not my business? You do you. It's okay. I can look the other way. Maybe eventually they'll come back to the faith. How many parents send their kids to college expecting them to have the college experience and they'll come back to the faith once they get married and have kids? how many parents are throwing their children to the wolves. But we do the same thing if we don't take a guard in our own life about how we have our devices and what TV shows and what streaming services we employ. Christ is giving us these scriptures because it is as real of a threat today as it was back then. And he goes on to say, they won't listen to the church and treat him as a Gentile and a tax collector. Okay, those who are not part of the promise. How do we treat those people who are outside of us? Because that's what he's saying, it's excommunication. Because the church is that community to which we have been called. We've been called out of the darkness into the wonderful light of the body of Christ. But yet if we sin and we allow sin, then we are excommunicated. We are out of the body. How did Jesus treat those? He went to have dinner with them. He went to the extreme to rescue them. It's how we should be treating those people who are on the furthest margins of the faith. Fasting and praying and doing penance and interceding for them so that their hearts can be changed and hearts can be converted and they can return to the practice of the faith. In that section of the gospel, Jesus is talking to the disciples. We had a couple of weeks ago when he told Peter that on you I build my church and I give you the keys. And now he's extending that same authority to all the disciples, those 12 apostles, the first body of bishops, entrusting them to lead us towards heaven. And this is why we can trust Holy Mother Church. And even though the world says all those things are no big deal and it's just we're just progressing, and that because of the restrictive rules from the past, no one really celebrated these lifestyles. But now that we've so enlightened and we've come to this new reality, now we're living in a new truth. It's garbage. It's death. And why we need the firm teaching of Holy Mother Church as our strong defense against the lies of the world and the lies of the devil. And again, we return to that second reading from Romans, motivated by love. And those of you who are raising or have raised children, sometimes love hurts. Sometimes love is tough. It would be a lot easier to go along. But because you as parents want your children to go to heaven, sometimes you have to make tough choices. Make tough decisions, and sometimes our kids don't like us. But we're motivated by love. This is the rules, the commandments that the church gives us. And so we pray for the own conversion of our hearts. Because the gospel is written about when someone else sins. But more times than not, we're the one who's doing the sinning. And so how do we receive this correction? Is our heart open to that fraternal correction? Are we willing to edit our life so that we can be reunited to the community? Can we say no once again to the darkness, to sin and to death, and to be welcomed, to be reunited, to be reconciled into the light, into the life of Jesus Christ? Jesus goes at the end, where two or three are gathered in my name, and anyone who prays, they will be heard. Again, more confidence he's giving us in the church. This isn't just because you can go in on the playground or out in the street or out in the mall or whatever and get two people together and pray about something that's going to happen. We'd have a lot more lottery winners. We'd have a lot less cancer if that was the case. Can those things happen? Yes. But he's talking to the church, strengthening them, empowering them, reminding them of this beautiful gift that they have of leading this new church, that they can come together and they can pray and they can have confidence that the Lord will speak to them and through them, which gives us confidence to be able to surrender our lives through Holy Mother Church to Jesus Christ. It's the role of the church. It's to get us to heaven. So once again, we have these challenging words. And it's not always easy to preach them, and it's not always easy to hear them. But they're necessary. We're in a spiritual battle. I think it's becoming more and more evident every day. Just the cultural decay that we're all confronting. But again, we're motivated by love. Christ has already won. There's never a reason to fear. There's never a reason to doubt. We just have to do the right thing. So if it's for you today to hear these challenging words, pray for that conversion of your heart. If it's for you today to speak those words of challenge to someone else, pray for the courage to do so with love. The Lord is reconciling the world to Himself. And He's poured out the Holy Spirit upon us to help us. Give us peace and reconciliation. The Lord's speaking to us today. And maybe it's a hard word. But if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.